you have to be testing everything because you never know what's going to resonate with your audience. You never know what's going to get people to actually click through and take the action that you want them to take.
Welcome to the 69th episode of the Frank Online Marketing Show. My name is Tema Frank, and I'm your host. Today's guest is Tim Page of the company Lead Pages. Now, if you've been in the internet marketing world for any length of time, there's a pretty good chance you've heard of Lead Pages. And in fact, I was surprised to discover that the company itself is only a year or two old. It has really taken the world by storm by making it really easy for companies to create lead pages that win them business, as well as to test different versions of those pages quickly and easily so you can keep refining and using a better page. In today's interview, Tim, of course, does talk a little bit about what they do. But what gets really fascinating is when we talk about some of the marketing mistakes that he has seen among their clients and what you can do about those. So I think it'll be worth your while to stick through for the whole interview, and I'll chat with you briefly at the end.
My name's Tim Page. I'm the conversion educator at Lead Pages and the host of Conversion Cast.
I've listened to Conversion Cast, and it's an awesome addition to the podcasts about how to succeed online. I think you got some great stuff there.
Thank you.
So, and the company's been around for how long?
Well, the product launched January of last year. So the company is actually not that old either. But they launched in January of last year.
Okay, so let's talk briefly about what the product is in case the audience isn't familiar. Can you just give a capsule summary for us?
Sure can. Yeah, so Lead Pages is basically a platform that allows marketers to basically have the tools at their fingertips that most smaller companies don't have. So to give you kind of a synopsis of it, basically we were on this kind of journey a few years ago where we were basically, we knew that there were all these amazing like entrepreneurs and solopreneurs and business owners that were building these awesome products and doing this awesome coaching and, you know, having all these things that could have a big impact on the world, but they didn't have the resources of these huge, you know, big companies or these big marketing organizations. They, you know, didn't have the resources of those companies. And so they had to spend all their time, you know, trying to market so that they could at least compete in the marketplace. And then, unfortunately, they would have to neglect their product. And so people would have this big vision for their company that they couldn't fulfill without the opportunity to make a business out of it. And so what Lead Pages does is it's a combination of a whole lot of tools. We're mostly well known for our landing pages. So we have these incredible landing pages for things like getting opt-ins, getting sales, webinar registration pages, and stuff like that. That are already set up for you, so you simply click on different elements of it, and you can put in your own elements. You can rewrite words, you can kind of reorganize certain things, but they're already set up based on tons and tons and tons of data on what actually gets leads and sales online.
Well, and one of the things that surprised me, because I was just listening to your episode with Gumroad, and he found something in his testing that really was quite counterintuitive, because normally one of the standard rules of thumb is on forms, the fewer questions you ask, the better.
Right.
And yet he found that for their desktop forms, adding in a request for the customer's name actually increased conversions. Are there any surprises like that you've come across?
All the time.
Yeah.
I mean, we're constantly testing. We have pretty much split tests happening across our platform all the time, and we're constantly split testing everything that we do. So at ConversionCast, the entire blog has split tests going on at every, you know, square inch of the blog. But we always find really interesting things. Like we have some incredible designers on staff, and they'll design these amazing images that are designed to get better conversions, and we'll split test it against like some junky image that we have. And a lot of the time, like the junky image will outconvert this beautiful thing that we've designed.
Wow.
You know, so there's so much. And that's why with ConversionCast, I'm constantly telling people you have to be testing everything, because you never know what's going to resonate with your audience. You never know what's going to get people to actually click through and take the action that you want them to take.
So what kind of volume numbers do people need before it's realistic to start split testing?
I say to split test right away. It's going to be difficult to get any kind of a reasonable kind of determination on whether or not, you know, something is statistically valid. I mean, with lead pages, the software actually tells you if a split test is statistically relevant or not. But I think you should always be split testing, yeah.
That's pretty cool. Your company has grown phenomenally quickly. What do you attribute that growth to? I mean, obviously, partially, it is split testing, and you've constantly been refining the offerings that you're making online. Are there other factors that you would say have really contributed to the growth?
Yeah, it's so hard to say. I mean, I could tell you about a million and one things. Just having been here in a short period of time, I've just witnessed, you know, not to brag on the company too much, but I mean, literally, like, the team there is the best in the world. So, I mean, if you've got a video, if you're talking about our video guy is the best in the world. Our customer care people are the best in the world. Our programmers are the best in the world. So, I mean, I would mostly attribute it to the amazing team that we have. And I've worked a lot of places. I've been an entrepreneur. I've had teams of my own. And I think at the end of the day, our synergy between different our different teams and different kind of segments of our team and the leadership is just – it's unbelievable. And so that's kind of come together so that everybody kind of takes charge of their thing. So, for example, like, I do the podcast. And so I'm really – I kind of handle all the things related to the podcast. And so – I set up the blogs, I set up the lead magnets, the split tests, you know, I get all the, I mean, I literally do everything. And of course I've got support. So I've got, you know, we have our designer that can help me with things and we have a copywriter who can make sure that the copy's awesome. But at the end of the day, we're all kind of, what's that term? Entrepreneurs, right? We're all, we're entrepreneurs for our own role. And I think that that's a huge part of our success. And you know, of course the split testing is part of it. And constantly having an eye on what's gonna be best for our users and how we can put out the best quality information. So I just think it's so many things that make lead pages kind of magic.
Hmm. How many people do you have on staff right now?
We've been adding a ton. I think we're over 40 now. We've been adding a lot really quickly.
Given that you've also had your own businesses and your own teams, what are some of the suggestions that you would make to entrepreneurs about how to develop that kind of incredible team that you seem to have now at Lead Pages?
Yeah, I mean, one thing that that I think is really that's really important and valuable about the way that it's handled here is the leadership at Lead Pages are constantly communicating with the team members to see, like, you know, what do they love about their job? What do they hate about their job? What could be taken off their plate so that they could love their job even more? So they're constantly in touch with us to find out what makes us tick and what we love about it. And they, you know, they take quick action to make sure that we can get away from the things that we don't love to do. So I would say, you know, really keep an eye on your team members and the happiness of your team members, because they're really, no matter what they're doing, whether they're an assistant, whether they're, you know, your CEO all the way down to whatever, they are the face of your company. So if you're treating them like they are the most valuable asset that you have, which they truly are, then they're going to want to give back to you. And I know from experience with everybody on this team, you can't have a conversation with somebody without them going, God, I love working for this company. Like, I love Lead Pages. I love the management. I love the team. And everybody just feels like family. So if you can develop that by really, like, not making it a marketing tactic, not making it a business tactic, but making a genuine effort to give a crap about the people that work at your company, I think at the end of the day, that's going to set you apart from, honestly, 99% of the companies out there.
It'll be interesting to see if they're able to maintain that as the company gets larger. I mean, we know typically a little over 100 is often a breaking point for companies.
Yeah.
But live and learn. We'll see, hopefully. In terms of things that you see with your customers that they're doing right or wrong, what are some of the biggest challenges that you see or mistakes that you commonly see your customers making on their website?
Sure. I can tell you the number one thing that I see across the board in all the reviews that I've been doing and seeing people's landing pages, the number one thing that I see is websites focusing on either the business owner or what the business does. Mm-hmm. What you should be focusing on is what the customer going to that website is going to get out of it in a clear and concise fashion. So, for example, I was just doing a review today of a website, and the website basically was like, you know, we're a company that's got X credentials and we've been doing X for 30 years and our customers are mostly people who do X, Y, and Z. And so that was in a video. And so I could watch that video and go, that's great, but what does that mean to me? Right? Even if I am customer X, Y, or Z, like what am I getting out of this? So instead of that, make your copy, make your videos, make your buttons, make everything tailored to what your customer is going to get. So I think most business owners have heard the phrase, what's in it for me? And so with every single word that you type, you should be thinking of what's in it for me, meaning what's in it for the customer. And So for example, let's say you had a headline that said something along the lines of I'm trying not to incriminate anybody because I've seen a few of them today. I'm just going to use a random name. So like learn the Barney Stinson technique for self-improvement. Well, I don't know what the Barney Stinson technique for self-improvement is other than, you know, like be awesome, right? So I don't know what that is. But if you were to say to me, like, learn the one thing that you ever need to know to make more money, get more sales, and lose weight today.
I'm in!
Right? I know what that is. Those are benefits. It's clear. I know what I'm going to get. And so, I mean, that's not a great headline, but it gives you the idea that you want to focus on what your customer is going to get out of it. And then when you've got a video, don't come in and go, hi, I'm Tim Page from ConversionCast and Lead Pages. I've been in marketing, right? That doesn't help anybody. The first thing that comes in, you go, how would you like to increase the sales of your business by over 120% in the next 24 hours? And now I'm like, hooked. I'm going to watch the rest of that video. And so that's the number one mistake. And I think if every business focused on that, they would, you know, revolutionize what they were doing.
Totally. I see companies make that mistake in their e-newsletters as well. It's really, really hard to convince them. The e-newsletter is about your reader. It's not about, like, they don't really care that you've launched something new or that you were rewarded and given an award by your peers. Like, that's not really the issue for them.
Right.
So what are some of the other struggles that you see businesses having trying to gain some traction online?
Well, I think another big one is not having a clear call to action right on the homepage. Mm-hmm. A lot of times you'll see businesses will have, like, there will be, you know, the top bar with the links, which is just a nice tiny little bar, which is great. And then there's this massive slider. Right? Mm-hmm. Big, huge, giant slider with like a sometimes like a clip art picture or sometimes like a picture of somebody's smiling face, like holding a or something. And then it says like, you know, in the big slider, it'll say like, you know, let's say it was like a design company. It'd be like the perfect design. Right. And then it's like below the slider, there are like those three those round images with bullet points underneath the images, and the bullet points will say, like, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying? So it'd be like, you know, design and, you know, technicality and all this stuff. But what am I supposed to do if I go to your page and I see that? Like, what do you want me to do? How can I best take action once I've gone to your website? So I always recommend, I think the first thing that somebody should see is, like a big benefit statement and then a call to action. So what that could be simply like a button that says, even if you wanted to be as simple as possible, it could be, you know, like, let's say you're a marketing company. You could have a headline that says, you know, get 150% more leads to your business in the next 2 weeks. And then a button that said, click here to find out how. And then that button could link to a landing page. It could link to a long form sales letter. It could really link to anything, but it's clear what that's going to drive. You know, it's clear what action I'm supposed to take. I don't have to look around your website. I don't have to look at, like, your links in the top and go, do I want to find out about? No, I don't want to find out. Do I want to hit contact? Not yet, because I don't know what you're about. Make it really clear what I'm supposed to do, and that's it. And I'll give you a perfect example of this for somebody who's listening to the show. Go to kissmetrics.com. It's the perfect example of the most, in my opinion, one of the most brilliant homepage designs ever. All it is it's like, it's got their logo, like, fairly small in the top left corner. It says Kiss Metrics. There's a guy who's looking at the call to action, and all it Google Analytics tells you what's happening. Kissmetrics tells you who's doing it. Have a Google Analytics account, log in with Google. And the login with Google is a button. That's really all that's on the page. And they convert really well. And so I think clarity and having a clear call to action is key.
Now, in terms of the call to action, I mean, I'm just thinking, for instance, one of my clients, they sell a fairly expensive product that has a fairly long lead cycle, and their goal with the website is simply to get people to pick up the phone and call them. Mm-hmm. But I'm thinking that if you were to have that as your call to action on the homepage, do you think that would be too premature?
Yes. I think picking up the phone and calling is one of the most high-friction, high-touch actions that you can get somebody to take. What I would recommend is offer them some kind of tool that's going to help their business. So offer the user some kind of a tool that's going to help their business and get them on an email list. Because you can start building that relationship with a great autoresponder series that's very helpful, that's not pitchy, that's just email after email. And what we recommend, by the way, and I can break this down here in just a second, but let me kind of tell the basis of it. So you get them on the email list so that you can start building that relationship without making them get on the phone and call you, which most people will not do. However, if they've gotten 8 great emails from you that will jam-packed with content that's tailored towards them, then on that 8th email, if you say, you know, hey, if you need some additional help with this, or hey, if you're ready to take X, Y, and Z to the next level, then, you know, click here to call, or, you know, here's the number, call the number, whatever you want to do. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to give some gold here. Here's the best way that we found to set up your initial autoresponder. So you have a landing page. It could be on your home page or whatever, but I recommend having a dedicated landing page where you have just a simple opt-in box, and you give away a list of tools. We call this a resource guide landing page. Okay. So you give away a list of tools, maybe 5 tools, all right? And so we gave away the 5 tools that we use to make all of our videos. That was one of our landing pages. Okay. But what's their I guess you don't want to say what their business is, but let's say since it's a higher end product, let's say they're buying some like massive consulting. I don't know.
Yeah, sure.
So you could say the five tools that every enterprise business needs to get to 8 figures a year or something like that, right? They get a really strong benefit statement, and then you can either make it a 2-step opt-in, which is like we have a product called Lead Boxes, which is you don't see the opt-in box on the page, you just see a button, and when somebody clicks the button, the opt-in box comes up. That's increasing conversions by about 30% on average. So, but either way, you collect their email address, and right away you send them that report that they've asked for. You can do it through Lead Pages. We actually have Lead Magnet delivery service right through Lead Pages, or you set it up with AWeber or MailChimp or whatever your autoresponder is. Mm-hmm. So that's day 0, they get that first email with the guide. And then what you do is you set up your autoresponder so that every 3 days, and we've done a lot of testing that every 3 days is perfect. It doesn't burn out, but it they get the content and it keeps you top of mind.
Okay. That was one of my questions, actually.
Yep. Every 3 days.
Frequently.
Yep. Okay. I mean, there are people that will tell you to do it every day, and some people have success with that. We have found that 3 days is perfect. So you send them every 3 days, and what we found to be really successful is in Lead Pages, we have this landing page. It's called a video lesson page for an autoresponder. And so you just do a video where it's 3 minutes of providing serious, serious value, like something that if that's all you gave, if you put that on YouTube, your audience would love it, right? So like if you were a health coach, you could say like my 3 favorite superfoods and how to get more energy using them. And that's what you talk about for 3 minutes. And then the last minute, you give them something extra they would get if they had your product, right? So you would say, the first 3 minutes is about your 3 favorite superfoods. And then you say, by the way, if you go ahead and get my, get more energy for your family now product, you'll get a list of 6 more superfoods, and I'll help you create a customized health plan for your family. And then you have a button below the video that they can buy, right? And so you do that every 3 days, mm-hmm. and you do that for about 6 weeks. And by the time that's done, they know you, they know your business, they trust you, they know that you're giving tons of value. It's not just pitch, and they're more likely to pick up the phone and call, and then, then you can do your normal sales cycle.
Mm-hmm. What differences do you see in the B2B world versus either business to consumer or even businesses selling to other like micro entrepreneurs, I have a feeling there may be differences in how you would speak or how you would approach that than if you're trying to sell to, let's say, a large business.
There's differences in language. There's differences in, I guess, like general approach. But at the end of the day, you still want somebody on your email list. You still want to continuously provide value. I mean, all the members of the Lead Pages team are, I can't say all, but most of us are subscribed to a lot of the same lists, that are targeted at people, at companies like ours. And we get their emails and we love them day in and day out. A lot of them we are customers of. But I think at the end of the day, the sequence is still basically the same. You still want to get their email address. You still want them to be constantly getting value and value and value. And a lot of people will say, well, like, oh, with B2B, you can get right to the close. And that might be the case when you're doing a sales pitch one-to-one or something like that. But at the end of the day, marketing psychology still works the same, whether it's B2B or B2C.
Absolutely, for sure. What are some of the challenges that your own company has faced in terms of getting its message out, or some of the strategies that it's used beyond just the email thing? Like, for instance, do you do online advertising, or is it really just a list building and PR based strategy?
We're crazy, so we've kind of slowly gotten to the point where we're doing almost everything. At this point, we're really firmly invested in SEO. We have an incredible YouTube channel. Now we have the podcast. Our blog is constantly updated with really high value stuff. And, we've just started, we kind of wanted to get this kind of organic thing going, but we've just started with some Facebook ads and we're kind of experimenting with them. And, the results have been really incredible, and it doesn't hurt that it seems a lot of the recent guests on ConversionCast have been really focused on Facebook and have been giving some tips. So we actually use a lot of the things that I talk to my guests about on ConversionCast. We use them in our business.
Yeah, why not? Learn from them. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I found with some of the heavy-duty online marketers, even some who seem like pretty good ones, they accept this notion that they give away a lot of great value up front to try and lure you in, very much the way you were proposing. But then sometimes once you buy the product, if they've already given their best value, that can be a bit of a letdown. So how do you determine how much of your good stuff you put in the free versus the paid?
I just want to know how your whole product can give away before you ever get to the product, right? I mean, I think that if you've only got so much value to give, then you should probably reevaluate your business. But I think I know what you're saying. So we kind of have this philosophy that we pretty much give. We give and give and give. The only thing we really ask in return for the most part is for an email address. And
in your case, I guess people are buying software, so it's something very tangible, and they can't get it without buying. In the one that I'm thinking of, it was really more a consulting type of thing. It was about, building and promoting your own business book sales online.
Yeah. And I would say, and so we have a lot of customers or clients that do that, that do a lot of consulting and coaching and stuff like that. And I think if you talk to most of them, like if you talk to guys like Nick Unsworth or John Lee Dumas, I mean, they give and give and give and give and give and give, and they never stop giving. And I think that really does pay off at the end of the day. And I think there's kind of an element to it of all the information in the world is great, but at the end of the day, people want personalized stuff. So people want that one-on-one consulting or that group consulting where they can get their specific questions answered. People want that personalized stuff. That if you've given enough value and you just keep giving and giving and giving, and then when you finally go to ask, they're like, great, I've gotten all this value, I'm going to go get it. So I guess my thought is I wouldn't have a limit to how much I would give. I would just make it so that, at the end of the day, that product is really, really special. And a good resource is a book called Jab, 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 Right Hook by Gary Vaynerchuk, which perfectly describes like how to give a ton and a ton and a ton and then ask.
How do you deal with that, though, when people are bombarded with so much now? There's so much stuff going up on the internet. How do you break through? I mean, this comes to Seth Godin, I guess, and Purple Cows, but I mean, seriously, it becomes very difficult if you look out there and you see that all the information you are expert on, there are already 30 people who've got YouTube videos up on it. Like, how do you find something unique and get the message out that you really have something unique?
Yep, and ConversionCast is not the only podcast talking about marketing.
Right.
Lead Pages is not the only landing page software. I mean, there are going to be competitors in every field, no matter what you're doing. And so how do you get out there? I mean, I think one is you bring a level of excellence that nobody else can bring. Two is, and again, I'm a Gary Vee fan. So every time I think about stuff like this, I'm like, yeah, what would Gary Vaynerchuk say? And Gary would say, like, you hustle harder than everybody else. And that is one thing that, like, not everybody has that hustle muscle. Even if they're out there busting butt, they don't have that hustle muscle. And then three would be, and this is where, like, you know, I talk to a lot of podcasters. You know, I'm big in Podcasters Paradise and really just because I kind of got my online start in podcasting. And one thing that podcasters, I think there's like a magnifying glass for this problem, but every business owner I think has this problem. But podcasters especially seem to fail at finding their special niche, right? I mean, we all talk about niching down, right? Like find the perfect niche and just, you know, dig deep and dig deep. And I think very few people have done this well. And I'm not bashing anybody. But it's really hard to separate yourself if you're doing, you know, what everybody else is doing and talking about it. So here's a great example. John McIntyre, who has, he calls himself the autoresponder guy. He's a copywriter. He's a brilliant copywriter, one of my favorite copywriters. And the guy knows copy inside and out. But there are 20 billion copywriters in the world, right? So what did he do? He positioned himself as the best autoresponder copywriter for businesses and for small businesses and for solopreneurs. And so now he's got a podcast called the Email Marketing Podcast. And there are lots of marketing podcasts, but there aren't a lot of great email marketing podcasts. So he positioned himself, and now he has tons of clients that beg him to help them with their autoresponder. And so ConversionCast is a podcast that's data-driven marketing, but it's not a marketing tactic. It is a marketing tactic that's been proven. It's not a theory, right? So you can do that in any business. You just have to narrow it down so that your audience, when they think, you know, I need a consultant for my farm equipment sales business. Well, they're going to go to the gal that just knows the farm equipment business inside and out. And so that's how you separate yourself.
Of course, that makes sense. Although, you know, it's interesting because when I look at somebody, what I was going to say, when I look at somebody like Pat Flynn, he's a bit of a generalist, but no, that's not true, because his thing that set him apart was that radical transparency right from the beginning about what he was trying and what he was doing.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
Exactly. I mean, and you know, this is the other thing I can say. People go, well, what if I niche down so there's no market? I will say to them, I have not found anybody who was too niche down.
Well, and that's one of the great things about the internet is no matter how obscure your market, if you can market worldwide, there are others out there.
Yeah.
That, you know, there are customers out there.
Yeah. We had a client that he teaches people how to draw on whiteboards. He teaches people how to draw on whiteboards. He made... I'm not going to say the number. It's he made nearly six figures in a 2-month launch period.
Wow.
Teaching people how to draw. So
well, there was a book a few years ago about sketching on cocktail napkins.
There you go.
Yeah. That's amazing. Okay, be brave, folks. Get out there and specialize. Thank you so much for your time, Tim. I really enjoy it, and I will continue to enjoy listening to your podcast.
Thanks, Tema. It's been awesome being here.
Yet again, we got into the repeated theme of niches and choosing your niche. It is amazing, as he said, how difficult it is to do that for your own business. It's so much easier to consult others on it. So apart from the niche issue, though, I think there are a couple of things that are worth stressing. One is email, despite the fact that we all feel overwhelmed with it, it's not going away anytime soon, and it is still probably the most effective way to build trust with potential customers and to keep people as customers. I think Tim had some really good advice in there about things like, for instance, mailing every 3 days. One is not enough, but once or twice a year, the way so many small businesses like to do it, really doesn't accomplish anything for you. I'm curious, do you use mailing lists and frequent mailing in your business? And if so, what results have you had? What's worked for you and what hasn't? It would be great if you'd share. You can either leave a voicemail or chat with me directly at toll-free 1-866-544-9262 or send me an email, TEMMarketinga@frankonlinemarketing.com. And if you haven't subscribed to the podcast yet, you can easily do so through iTunes or Stitcher. I look forward to chatting with you next week and hope to hear from you in the meantime. Bye.